Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're going to start a new series, and the next few days and weeks we'll be teaching on the good fight of faith. If you want to know what is required to walk and fight this good fight of faith that Paul was talking to Timothy about, just stay with us and listen, and we will tell you and teach you how this thing works. At the end of the program, you'll hear some numbers of how to get this teaching free in its entirety.
This is not something simple. This is an awesome statement. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How many of the blessings are yours? How many of the gifts are yours when you become a Christian? All! So what is it we don't understand about all? Maybe we don't know what they are. That must be true. I didn't. But I learned what those gifts were. Now those gifts, there is 9 of those gifts laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 8. There is 9 of the gifts laid out there of what is yours, and all of them are yours. And you don't have to pray for them. Nothing. They belong to you as a born-again Christian. And there's enough power in those 9 gifts right there to get anything done you ever want to do in your life. All you've got to do is believe God. But most people don't believe God. Now then, this is one of those in Christ scriptures. He did not say He would bless us. He said He has already given us everything we'll ever need to live a victorious life. It's already yours. And to think that when Christ went away, I had no knowledge from the time I was 11 when I made Jesus my Lord and Savior until I was about 40 or 45 years old. I had absolutely no knowledge of what was mine as a son of God. I bet you never saw a prayer answered. I mean, I didn't even know demons were real. I didn't know I could cast out demons. Somebody somewhere in the church has really messed up big time. Because if I can take a little tiny boy like Cody, and I can teach him the things I've taught him and see him already casting out demons, praying for his mother and for other people, and seeing God do these mighty things. If they'd have taught me and you that when we was that age, J.C., there is no telling what we'd be doing today, right? Yeah. Amen. But now then, we can't look back at what happened in the past. We can only go forward from today. We're going to occupy till Jesus comes. Now then, all we have to do is believe and receive these things by faith for them to work for us. Now then, I will say, before you can believe and receive them, you must repent of your sins. Because your sins, let me present it to you like this. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in you. Now if Christ is in you, who's the healer? Jesus Christ. Where is He? In us. So if the healer is in us, then why are so many of us sick? Because in our spirit, where Christ is living, there is so much junk, sin, in our pipes, if you want to call them, between our physical flesh and our spiritual man, that the healing power of Jesus cannot get through. I think about a pipe one day, whenever I first bought my first home out in Highland Village, they had septic systems. And not sewer lines, but I mean, had a sewer system. They had septic tanks and everything out there, and they had put in clay pipes. Now we all know today in the plumbing field, you don't never want to put a clay pipe in with a septic system because the joints don't seal, and so the joints don't seal, and as they do, water leaks out, and of course the grass grows in, and first thing you know, it's a little fibers of grass begins to grow in there. And then the trash coming down, the grease and whatever starts to hang on that. First thing you know, that pipe will grow completely up on the inside. And you got to call somebody with a Roto-Rooter, and you got to come out and run it through and clean it out. And you're okay for another year or two or three. Then you got to do it again. It's a never-ending chore. Why could that water from the sink not get out to the septic tank? The line's plugged up. Why can the healing power of Jesus that's in you not get from where it needs to be inside to the physical flesh to heal you? Because it's plugged up with the debris of sin. Every time you confess sin to God, you take away and clean out the debris. Why is it some people cannot hear the voice of God? Because they're so stopped up with the debris of sin. God's talking to them, but they can't get it. They'll never hear it. So when you become a holy instrument with all of your sins confessed, every time you realize you have unforgiveness, in fact, I don't see the lady. If they may be here today, I may just be missing it. But if you are here, you'll know this story. Standing right here the other day on a Sunday night, there was a couple come up here, and she said, "I'm having heart pains. I feel like I'm having a heart attack." I said, "Are all your sins confessed?" And she said, "I think so." I said, "Man, you can't think so. You got to know so." Now, here's the thing. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, how many of your sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus?
All.
So you didn't need 1 John 1:9. I don't care what you had done, how wicked you had been, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of your sins were remitted. Now then, that you become God's child, you go out tomorrow and you lie to somebody, you just sinned. Now you need 1 John 1:9. Because those sins are not going to be remitted. Your sins were remitted before you got saved. When you got saved, I mean the sins you committed before that, were remitted. Now then, you sin after that, you got to have 1 John 1:9, because they're not covered under the blood automatically. You got to confess the sin. If you don't confess the sin, you're plugging up your pipes. So you sin, and you sin, and you sin, and you sin, and you're plugging up your pipes, and you're plugging up your pipes. And if you don't start confessing those sins and start walking holy before God, as you get enough of that crud between you and the Spirit of God that's living in your spirit, guess what that begins to do to your physical flesh? Sin brings forth death. The death process starts, so you die far prematurely. But now then, as a born-again Christian, if we sin, which we should not, now we should be taught from day one, when you become a born-again Christian, your preacher should say, "You are now washed in the blood, you're clean, you're white, it's snow, just as if you'd never sinned. So your goal now is to stop lying, cheating, committing adultery, all those other things you might have done. You are to walk holy and obedient to God's Word." But most of us don't tell them people that, do we? It's unfortunate. We think we can go and do whatever we want to do. No, you can't. Because as this woman, as I asked her, if she had all of her sins confessed, she said, "I think so." I said, "Man, it don't work to think so. You got to know so." Well, she turned to me and said, "Okay, I have them all confessed." I said, "Okay. Now, who knows the truth?" She does. God does. And the devil does. Now, I don't know, because I haven't had a word from the Lord yet on her, but God knows. I turned to her husband and I said, "How about you?" He said, "Oh, yeah. I've been coming to this church a while. I know my sins are all confessed. I knew that was going to be the first question you asked me." I said, "Okay. So you know yours are all confessed?" He said, "Absolutely." He said, "I've taken care of my sins." I said, "Okay, good." So I reached up to pray for the lady. She's standing right in front of me, and I want to reach up to touch her on the shoulders, to lay my hands on her to pray for her, because Jesus said, "Lay hands on the sick, command the sickness to go away, and they'll get healed." I reached up to touch her. The instant I touched her, it's like you'd shock me with an electric shock, and both of my hands just knocked back off of me just like that. Just, I jumped like I'd been shocked. And the Lord says, "Unforgiveness." He gave me a word of knowledge, one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. He said, "Unforgiveness." I said, "Whoa." Wendell was standing right beside me. He said, "Whoa, something happened, didn't it?" I said, "Yes, it did." I said, "Man, you got unforgiveness towards somebody, don't you?" And immediately she broke into tears. She knew exactly who it was. I said, "Who was it?" She said, "My husband." I said, "Okay, I don't want to know what the problem is, but you must forgive him or you can't be healed." She said, "I just don't think I can forgive him." I said, "Man, let me make it real easy for you." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Do you know that if you die in the sin of unforgiveness, the Lord says in Mark 11:25-26, if you do not forgive your brothers from your heart, neither will I forgive you." And I said, "If Jesus does not forgive you for your sin, do you know if you died in that sin, you will not be able to go to heaven?" She said, "What?" I said, "That's true." I said, "Besides that, in Matthew 18:21-35, he says, if you will not forgive your brothers from your heart and your husband, he'll turn you over to the tormenting spirits to be tormented day and night, and you'll not get out until you pay him every penny you owe him." And I said, "You'll never live long enough to pay him all of that debt." I said, "Now then, you want to live in torment? Or do you want to forgive your husband? Or if you die, do you want to go to hell? Is whatever he done worth living in hell forever? She said, no. I said, okay, good. Forgive him. She said, I'm not sure I even know how to pray a prayer like that. Well, I said, I'll lead you. So I did. When we got through praying the prayer, I said, now then, ma'am, did you mean every word you said that you quoted after me? She said, yes, I did. And when she said that, I got another word of knowledge. The Lord said, tell her, her pain is gone. She's healed. I said, ma'am, I don't even have to pray for you. The Lord just told me that you're healed. She took a couple of deep breaths and just fell into tears and fell on my chest and fell on her husband's chest and everything else. And just, she said, I am healed. Isn't God awesome? Does he want you to be healed? Yes, he does. But does he want you to sin? No, he does not. Now then, a good God would never put a plan like this in operation, would he? Yes, he will. And he did, didn't he? And he's no respecter of persons. So it don't make any difference between you or me or Dee or whoever it is. If you sin, you open the door to the demonic world. How many of you would like to have a demon come torment you the rest of your life? Ain't no takers on that, is there? No, I ain't guarantee you. I don't want one of them beasts. The only way you can stay free from them devils is to not sin. That ought to make it a whole lot more easy for you to do your best to walk without sin. When you learn that if you sin, and I don't care how little a sin is, you're going to open the door to a devil to come into your flesh to torment you, and you ain't going to like the results. Proverbs 26:2 says, no curse comes upon you undeserved. Does it pay good dividends to repent? Sure does. I've seen people healed over and over and over. So, if you've got a sickness and got a disease, you need to make sure you have gone through your past life from the day you got saved and make sure you confess everything you've done as sin. Then you need to go back and confess everything your mom and daddy's done as sin. Then you need to go back and forgive them for everything they've done wrong. So let me tell you this now, and I've caught a lot of flack for this teaching, but I've had the Holy Spirit tell me this from several people's lives, men and women, that the women or the men in either case were sick or down with a stroke or down with a problem because their father or their grandfather was a Mason, a member of the Masonic Lodge.
We're going to have to stop right there today on the teaching, but we'll start there again tomorrow. We invite you to join us again tomorrow to hear the continuation of the Good Fight of Faith. If you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would contact our ministry center at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or go to the web at www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. And there you can order these teachings as well as many other teachings free and postpaid. We would love to send them to you free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He is God and Lord of all. And we praise Him and thank Him for the privilege to teach His Word.